Here's Andy Burcham with This Week in Auburn Baseball.
Welcome to This Week in Auburn Baseball. Tigers opened the season with a series sweep over Eastern Kentucky, 17-6 in seven innings on Friday night, 6-1 on Saturday, and then 9-1 on Sunday, joined, of course, by Tigers head coach Butch Thompson. Overall thoughts about the opening weekend from every perspective as the Tigers head coach?
Yeah, it's a lot to dissect, but a good weekend. It was so nice, us being the last team to start competition on campus to get it kicked off. Opening day was tremendous, and I think you start with the crowd. Just biggest opening day, I guess, ever is what they were telling me, and most students ever to attend a ball game. So that was pretty awesome, just seeing the crowd and the electricity. The Hall of Fame Club opening up and that ribbon-cutting ceremony for Frank and his family being in attendance. And really, hey, I tip my hat. I got an awesome email or a text from Frank yesterday, how much he and his family enjoyed the weekend. I know he was the letter N at Neville on Saturday night after our game.
I believe he delivered lemonade to the game day crew, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was amazing this weekend and his connection to Auburn people. I know the Auburn family loved it. But he sat right there next to our dugout in that new Hall of Fame there in those box seats and was just with our team and was encouraging our hitters when they do something good or even if they got out, you know, hey, you got three more at-bats, just little things like that. So that's the big piece. It's one thing for him to do all this, for him to sit there and engage with our team. That meant a little something extra to me and then to get that text from him yesterday. So I thought that went wonderful. A lot of our donors and people, I said it was going to be an appetizer and a new way to take in baseball at Plainsman Park like we've never done it before. That feedback has been pretty positive. So it was a great first step, all the hands that went into getting our season ready. It looks like a carnival and a fair once you walk into the gates now. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of extra layers. A lot of people have put a lot into this to help take this to the next step. This is a huge preview of what's coming with our construction down the first baseline of Donahue above the monster seats. And what really matters for coaches and players is to go out there and play good enough baseball to get the season started off positive, to get back out on the field today. And once that opening day happens, man, the whole season just carries you. And so we got four big games this week, and we'll recap a little bit from the weekend, the positive, the good. You got to celebrate that. That's really important. And pick out the strategies and techniques or where you think you can improve upon. The guys that got out there and got to play on the mound or in the field. The guys that didn't get to play that you have a plan for to try to hopefully get them engaged this coming week. So a lot going on, but I thought all in all, it was absolutely tremendously positive to get this season started off for this group.
Evaluate your starting pitching.
I thought Alsip was as advertised from a standpoint of he was more efficient, not to walk a batter. I think that's positive on opening day. That's kind of the challenge. He got the first inning started off. I don't think we gave up a run in the first inning this weekend. That's always big for an amateur baseball team to go out and try to win the first inning. Chase had a little bit of challenges. I know that second inning, a couple of balls were hit hard, three extra base hits. Then he comes back out in the third and reestablishes. But not to walk a batter and walk out there for the fifth inning, I think, is a win all in all. He knows he's got to grow and get better into it. Same way with Gonzalez. You know, I thought there were some challenges along the way there, trying to find the strike zone, tempo of his delivery, some challenges there early. But, you know, when push came to shove, he was able to induce that double play ground ball in the first inning, the second inning. And when you look up, and we had advertised with Joseph, it had been a year since he had pitched in a ball game. It looked like it, but when the dust settled, you got five innings and two hits against what we thought was a very competitive Division I baseball lineup that we had to face. And then, you know, we saved the best for last. Carson Myers and Christian Herberholtz, they tag team to complete a game. And early in the year, like an opening weekend, two guys that got to throw really good to get six innings pitched with 75 pitches, and then, you know, another guy to come in and throw three. So that's kind of a challenge. You got to be pretty efficient and around the strike zone to be able to do that on an opening weekend since we just got back together in early January.
How sharp was Joseph Gonzalez on Saturday?
He can be sharper.
But again, he's just we think he's a winning ball player,
right?
And I think he'll keep getting better each outing. But there were some definitely you can just tell the precision that he's trying to craft. It's just maybe each pitch is not going exactly where he wants it to go. But again, at the end of the day, those two hits in five innings are positive. And what he did, his major skill showed up where he manipulates barrels. There was not balls getting up in the air. Those double plays were like, they were very timely, but that's what he does. And it forces the infield to play a lot. We had a lot of ground balls. The infield played great behind him on Saturday especially. And I just think the best is yet to come as he continues to there's not a drill that we can create of like a squad game or a bullpen that can simulate a real game. So we really have nothing left for him on that journey of returning back to being a healthy pitcher except those innings, and he got five of them out of the way Saturday.
One unearned run allowed by Joseph on Saturday, and then Sunday the work that Carson Myers did for you, the lefty, transferred from UAB, named the SEC SEC co-pitcher of the week. What just seemed in command, and then Christian Herberholtz came in on the backside. He ends the game with eight consecutive strikeouts for Herberholtz. They combined for 14 on the day.
Yeah, I've only seen that one other time, and that was a special pitcher I'd had in the past of just seeing you turn a whole lineup over. I think he got 11 or 12, but Christian got a changeup set. Myers had all three pitches set, and I thought Myers threw good, but then when I watched it again, the replay, every pitch from that center field camera looking over his shoulder back at the plate, the execution of those pitches were really good. And I saw sliders that were, located. I saw fastballs to get ahead in the count. Saw changeups versus right-handers. Watching it post-game was even more impressive because of the level of command. So don't feel like that was flukish. He's not throwing 100, but that 88 showed up from the first inning to the sixth inning, which is really impressive to me. Being able to hold the finish to your pitches tells me that he had prepared well, that he had trained well, and of course executed well like I started with. And then we had about a 20-minute offensive inning there before he come out for the sixth inning. And I would say the mentality showed up for me too. There was a lot of respect and trust, because sometimes when a pitcher has to set that long and come back out for an inning, especially which was eventually his last inning, and to come out and strike out the sides were very impressive. And then Christian Herberholtz had a changeup set about as good as I've seen him. And Christian was a slow starter. He started some big games for us last year, but it was all in the second half. He was slow out the gate. I can't tell you how good that is to see Christian throw that way early in the season, especially opening weekend.
We know what Ike Irish can do at the plate, and he had a fabulous opening night. This was his first weekend, his first series as your starting catcher. What are you looking for from Ike when you look at him from a defensive standpoint, especially early in this season?
Received the ball. I can report, because I was there all three games, for every pitch and locked in. We had a ball get by him, a tough breaking ball. Tilly is that 3,000, one of our highest RPM spins. Him and Keplinger, a freshman, have real breaking balls that are spinning big time. And one got in the dirt and got away from Mike, and one ball got by him for a weekend series on opening day weekend. That's pretty good. And I thought he received the ball well. And those guys are easier to catch yesterday because they're absolutely,
right,
like I talked about, they spotted pitches, and that's easier to catch. But Ike's gotten better as a catcher since we got back in January. That's what's so impressive. He's still a young catcher. And then I don't think we had any intentions of catching him all three games, except after two games, he's communicating to Teef so much as a pitching coach. You got first-year pitching coach. You got him heavily invested in the game and catching good. Because we've got a couple other guys that we think can catch a little bit too. But we put him right back out there just to risk changing that rhythm, because you're playing the same opponent. And he's strong. He's absolutely strong, tough, and he can focus for a long period of time. You can tell when he's hitting, he never gives an at-bat away. That's so awesome to see that translated into receiving, respecting the pitcher, communicating to coach, and being invested in every pitch he received as well. And that was the takeaway for me and the reason why we went ahead and caught him a third game. We'll play four different opponents this week, and maybe that'll give a chance. But he had such a good feel for what, how to pitch them and what to do that was really hard. He made it hard for us to take him out for game three yesterday.
Where does the fire helmet come from?
It comes from Chris West. He was a former walk-on pitcher for us, a left-hander, awesome guy. He's up in Huntsville. I think he's the brother-in-law of Hunter Morris, you know, one of our best ever, an SEC Player of the Year. And he gifted me that fire helmet once he became fire chief. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty neat. You know, we did the dog tags last year, and I told Bobby Pierce, I guess, him and McMurray and Joseph and Bauman, just please have some meaning behind it. So that's a former player, and we're protecting and serving, and so he's going to put the fire out. And they love to do that, player of the game, and just trying to put a little meaning with it. So Chris, I hadn't even got in touch with Chris yet, and that was at home. The guys were having trouble thinking of something, so I'm like, here, try the fire hat. And that's from a former player that loved the program that's out there. So to honor our people, we'll use it to honor our people in our community. So I'm thinking more of our police, our fire chief, and you know, our nurses, all those people, how we did a great job with that during COVID. So hopefully there's some build out of honoring the people in our community that serve us. And so we think we found another good way to honor our player of the game and have a little meaning with it. And it'll be neat to see how that plays out during this season.
Interesting week of baseball coming up with UAB. Always, regardless of when or where you play UAB, it's going to be a very, very good game. And then you go on the road for the first time, neutral site down in Jacksonville, Florida, to play Friday against Iowa, Saturday against Wichita State, and Sunday against Virginia. And that's two games against top 20 opponents in the three on the weekend down in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, we're trying to do consistent. I was talking to somebody I really confide and trust in, and we talked about in the past, I remember me talking about, we're just playing the game. And I guess the new way I'm trying to say it with our leadership of our team is just, let's just be consistent with everything that we do. You know, our program has earned the status of being able to be competitive against. If you're the number one team in the country, we got a chance to beat you. If you're number two, we got a chance to beat you. And, but from top to bottom, if you're number 300, we got a chance to lose that game as well. And just, can we be consistent? So the focus is on us, and we're just going to try to use the word consistent a whole lot with this group. And this is a different set of challenges. You know, Casey Dunn, Auburn alum, absolutely got off to a good start this weekend. They beat Kennesaw State 2 out of 3 at home. So that's always a challenge for us when we play our in-state foes, because they absolutely, we always get their best. That will be no different tomorrow night. But can we just pick up our pieces and keep tracking on what we can do better and who we are and building our identity? You know, playing three games, you don't know everything when you're 50-plus in front of you. But can we just keep making adjustments and keep trying to be consistent every day and then be that first road trip? So, you know, whenever we go in the SEC on the road, we will have already practiced it one time. So you need to play a couple of top 20 opponents the first time you hit the road. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Hopefully the Auburn family will show up down there, and hopefully we have the largest contingency, even though it's Jacksonville, Florida, with those schools coming from other places. But, you know, it's a little harder to scout and do things when you're just back to back to back and it's a different opponent. So that'll be different than this first weekend too. But we're going to see I know Friday we're going to see from Iowa the preseason Big Ten Pitcher of the Year. And we're going to see 101 miles per hour. Mm. Wichita State with a new staff that scored a bunch of runs this weekend, and a Virginia team on Sunday with the icing on cake that has every intention of a return trip to Omaha.
Do you have your rotation set?
It just probably looks like we'll stay the same way. Okay. You know, Connor McBride, that'll be a new guy pitching for us on Tuesday from St. John's River, junior college player. I'm excited to see him get out there. But we still have a bunch of guys that didn't pitch from the weekend. You know, the guys did such a good job yesterday that there's a lot of guys I want to see get out there. Griffin Graves comes to mind, a Dylan Watts, two new players, a dynamic lefty freshman with a great arm. Dylan Watts is a junior college player from out in Washington. You know, you think of Hayden Murphy from last year. You think of a few more pieces that you really want to see get in the ball game. Can't force it, but hopefully McBride gets us off to a good start, and we got some guys that are still trying to make their first appearance. And it looks like right now that we'd probably try to do the same thing for a second weekend with that rotation that we just threw out there against Eastern Kentucky.
Be safe in your travels. Wish you all the best this week. See you at the ballpark.
War Eagle.
War Eagle. Tigers head coach Butch Thompson on This Week at Auburn Baseball.